So I was watching a television program. Perhaps you're familiar with it. Top Chef. Have you watched it? Okay, good. So I'm with folks of equally low standards. It's on the Food Channel, Top Chef. Skillful cooks. And I noticed something. When they tell their story, there's a number. They compete for the top prize. I notice when they tell their story, some seem to express things, their skill level, with less confidence than they ought. They're actually better than they present themselves. And others seem to be unduly overcompetent about their cooking skills. They over-advertise their skillfulness in the kitchen. And it occurred to me that that same phenomenon seems to take place in a much more serious vein, oftentimes, with regard to us and our relationship to Almighty God. I notice in the general population, perhaps you have as well, that some seem to be always doubtful about their standing with God, when in fact they have good reason to be confident and assured of God's favor. And on the other hand, there are those who seem to state with great conviction that they are right with God. They know Him. Everything is fine. And yet they seem in their lifestyle to show no reason to be so self-assured. So some are not confident enough about their standing with God. Some are without a factual basis, a little too confident, it seems to me. Which leads me to this question, which we'll address tonight. What about you? What about me? Are you sure of your standing with Almighty God? You know, that's been the name of the series we've been engaged in. We're here gathered together to discuss things of great import. We ought to be certain of them. There should be no question in our mind about things of eternal consequence. So I wonder, are you sure about your standing with God? Do you have a reason to be so sure? Should you maybe be more sure than you are? Are you someone who's doubtful about your standing with God when in fact you ought to be able to declare with confidence, I know Him, I'm okay with Him? Or you might be in that other category of person who once again states with great conviction that you have God's favor when in point of fact you have no reason to feel so confident. You know, my desire, even tonight, and I've made this a matter of prayer, is that there be not one of us who leave here tonight without taking with us the correct measure of assurance of where we stand with God. Not too much, not too little. Just the right measure of assurance in light of the evidence for it, which we find in our lives. So let me begin with this. How could you be sure that you know God? We talk about the knowledge of God. If someone were to ask you, do you know God? What would you be able to say? Could you ever be sure, in fact, that you in truth really do know God? Well, you could. And in fact, God wants you to. And so He declared something through a choice instrument whose words we've been studying. It's John, the Apostle John. And in a letter he wrote some 2,000 years ago, but quite relevant today, he said this. If you want to look along, it's 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Yes, we made it to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll just look to a few verses tonight. Verse 3. I would like to commend to your attention, again, in answer to the question, how could you be sure that you know God? Here's the biblical answer, 1 John 2, verse 3. By this, we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. So there you have it, clear and simple. According to that verse, this is how you, I, know that you or I know God. Here it is. You are doing what He said. If you want to know what the knowledge of God looks like, it looks like obedience, it seems to me. So wonder no longer about you and God. There you have it. You know You know him if you obey him. That's what it says right there. You only know of him if you find yourself habitually doing your own thing. See, that would be evidence not of knowing God. That would be evidence of knowing of God. Everyone does. But not knowing him in this kind of way. Because what you're really seeing is the same pattern of disobedience. So if you are not sure of your standing with God, do this. Take a look at your life. Don't make it more tricky than that. Do a little bit of self-examination. What does your life look like? Does it look like God is in it? To the extent that you are now living it differently. Can you see that in your life? You're not perfect. No, that's not what we're getting at. But you are living life differently than you ever did. And you're not different because something or someone is putting you up to it. You're not different because something or someone is pressuring you to live differently. No, you are different in a way. You are different from the inside out. Is that true of you? Is there something now in you causing you to be different than you ever were? If so, you might be on to real evidence of the fact that you in truth know God. You have changed, you see. And more precisely, it isn't that you have changed. You would be the first to say this. You have been changed. You see, there's something in you that's made a difference. You sense a new desire to do what God says you are to do. And not only that, you also notice a higher degree of success in doing what he wants you to do. You never experienced an interest in complying with him before. And not only that, now you're doing it more readily and with more success. That's a new thing for you. And if you see that new thing, that new desire to obey God, you realize that is more than you. You realize it is God in you producing it. And now you have evidence of the fact that you could be confident of the fact that you know God. It isn't that you do what he says perfectly. I don't want to cause anyone to stumble that way. No, it isn't that you do what he says perfectly. What it is that you have a new interest in obeying God. And even though you don't always do so, it now bothers you when you don't do so. It never did before, but now when you don't obey God, and sometimes even you who have right standing with God, even you who be a Christian, let's face it, you, I, sometimes we choose to disobey God, quite sadly. The difference is now you feel uncomfortable about it, distressed, maybe even a little miserable. Could I tell you something? That misery is evidence of God in you. You used to sin easily. Now it's not so easy, though you may still, from time to time, sin. So, where did all that come from? I have to tell you, it came from God. Those are supernatural evidences of his presence in your life. And so you see this new interest in obeying God and this new measure of success in obeying God and this new discomfort when you do not obey God. All this is evidence of the fact that God has moved in. Isn't that good to be a temple of the very Spirit of God? Do you have that kind of evidence in your life? I wish you would answer it privately to yourself. There's only two options. Yes, I see that evidence in me. No, I do not. If the answer is yes, you can be confident that you know God. That's the basis upon which John said you can have assurance of your salvation. Do you see evidence of his working in your life, the manifestation of which is your new response to him and what he wants you to do? But if that evidence is lacking in your life, then I must say, and I don't mean to hurt anyone, but I must be honest and say, you do not have reason to be so confident about where you stand with God. I must tell you that. Lots of people know of God. Lots of people know of God. But the kind of knowledge John is speaking of here is a little different. The kind of knowledge of God he is speaking of is the kind of knowledge that changes you. And so some knowledge, most knowledge, informs us. But the knowledge John is speaking of transforms us. It's a different kind of knowledge. What kind of knowledge changes us? Well, it's knowledge of someone relationally. It's not facts and figures as much as it is contact that changes. It's a personal relatedness to God. That's the knowledge John is speaking of. And that kind of experience, personal, relational experience with the living God, will show up in your life. Do you have that kind of knowledge of God? Has this kind of knowledge of God changed you? If so, I must tell you, you should be absolutely confident of your standing with him. There's a question in your mind. I'm afraid we can't give you assurance of the fact that you have the right relationship with God. So what does it mean to know God in a transformational way? Well, you're still you, let's face it. But you notice that though you are still you, you are less like you than you ever were. And you are becoming daily more like God. You see that in you. Is that true of you? If it's true of you, then do not doubt your standing with Almighty God. You have evidence of a vibrant, transformational, saving, personal relationship with God. Now, let me emphasize once again that we are not talking here about being perfect. I'm afraid that is simply not going to be our experience this side of things. We're not talking about living without sinning. What we're talking about is living with a new attitude about sinning. You see, you used to run to it. Now you find a newly implanted desire to run away from it. If you see that, you have evidence of the fact that you've been taken over by a holy God who's taken up his habitation in your life. However, verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know God, and yet does not keep his commandments, that one is, strong words here, a liar, and the truth is not in him. And I suppose the one being most prominently lied to is oneself. One would be a victim of his own self-deception here. So you can see in this verse, John is posing a contrast, isn't he, between saying and doing. The one who says, that's words, that's profession, that's a declaration. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not, that's the doing, does not keep his commandments. If there's a discrepancy between the saying and the doing, you have no reason to be all that sure of your standing with God. They have to be consistent. So I ask you this question. Does your conduct validate your claim that you are a Christian? Sadly, but I think accurately, I have to say many more claim to be Christians than actually are. I don't want to talk anyone out of their faith nor cause you to question it unduly, but I simply have to make application from this verse. If you make the claim to be a saved one, does your conduct bear that out? Is your conduct consistent with the claim? Or does your conduct invalidate your claim? You see, verse 5, whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. So I ask you, do you know God? Do you know him enough to love him? Because you know him enough to know that he has first loved you. See, to know God is to love God, and to love God, according to this text, is to obey God. God is loved when his word is kept. It says it right here. But whoever keeps his word, in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. See the word keeps? It's kind of a military term. It's a reference to a guard on a guard post. Keeping what is of value. Keeping watch over what is value. Making sure nothing takes it away. Making sure nothing gets in the way. Here is an evidence of the fact that you are rightly related to God. You exercise yourself to guard, to protect, to watch over the extent to which you are living by and applying the word of God to your life. You guard the transaction so that his communication to you is not snatched away, so that what he tells you to do is not invaded. You fight off the intruder. You fight off the one who wants to steal it, take it away from you, distract you from it, talk you out of it. You guard it with every ounce of your being, with a desire to do it because you value it almost as if it is your most prized possession. Do you see that kind of new appreciation for the scriptures in which God tells us what he expects of us? Do you see that so that you protect it, guard it, and save yourself for it? If so, you have real evidence of regeneration, new life in you. That doesn't come from you. I know what you're like. You're like me. I'm like you. That is not our natural inclination. Our natural inclination is to put down the word of God, ignore the word of God, minimize the word of God, dismiss it. If you find yourself lifting it up as authoritative over your life, valuing it as a love letter from Almighty God who cares how you live, you have supernatural evidence of his work in you. And you ought to walk out of this place, head up, shoulders back. No matter what else you may lose, no matter what else is slipping through your fingers, this won't. Your relationship with Almighty God has stood the test and will stand the test of time. You have evidence of it, don't you see? So, if this is true of you, you're keeping the word of God, then you can know for sure that the love of God has truly been perfected in you. So here's how it works. If you really know God, you know how much God loves you. And if you know of God's love for you, your response will be to love him. And it is keeping his word that is one's loving response back to God for his love. Do you see that process in you? I love you, Lord Jesus, for you have first loved me. And I desire, therefore, to do that which is pleasing to you. I'm inclined to do that which is pleasing to me. It's been my lifestyle. But I'm seeing that diminish. I'm seeing my love for you take over. Do you see that? That is the stuff of regeneration. That is the stuff of new life in Christ. So let me ask you this. Maybe this will help. Is your obedience to God like the obedience of a slave, or is it more like the obedience of a son or of a daughter? You see, if it is like the obedience of a slave, I must say there's a high probability you don't know God. Because you're too much moved by fear of him rather than love for him. So I'd be a little concerned for you. Let me put it this way. Is your obedience to God, is it more like a have to than a want to? If it's more like a have to, then I would caution you about being too confident about your standing with God. I don't think you know him. The evidence is a want to, you see. Do you see that in your life? See, one who is a Christian indeed knows that he has been saved in spite of his disobedience. And so now he chooses to obey God, not in order to be saved, but because he already is, though he be undeserving. So you see, it's a whole, here's the point. The one who truly knows God is not so much responding to law as much as he is responding to love. Can you see the difference? Big difference. So this one's obedience looks more like following. Let me put it this way. This one's obedience, the one who really knows God, that one's obedience looks more like he's following a person rather than directions. This one looks more like he's in a relationship of love rather than he's rules oriented. I didn't say he despises the rules. So I didn't say that. I just said the motive is entirely different. No, it's a want to, not a have. Do you know God this way? Are you sure? If you know him, you see, you will love him. And if you love him, you will see a new impetus in you to obey him because you love him back. Do you? If you see this, then I tell you, you see one of the premier evidences of the work of God in your life. So the text goes on to say here, by this we know that we are in him, continues in verse 6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Again, John poses the contrast between saying and doing. See, the one who says he abides, then ought to walk. He ought to do a particular thing. To profess Christ is not to be minimized. That's how it starts. A declaration of trust in him. But if that is not consistent with one's conduct, then one's conduct has invalidated one's verbalization. So another test for you, because I'd like you to be sure of your standing with God, do this. If you're wondering whether you're truly a Christian, look less to what you have said and more to what you are now doing. Put less credence in your words and more credence in your conduct. Because every time they do a Gallup poll, apparently the vast majority of those polled in our country and elsewhere are professing Christians. I wish to believe that that was accurate, but I don't see it borne out in reality. Therefore, I think if you want to determine for sure whether you are a saved one, put less focus of attention on a statement you made, perhaps as a child or as you walked an aisle, perhaps, or heeded an invitation. I'm not invalidating any of these things. I'm just saying put less credence in the mere words and a little more credence in what is your life like now. I'm just trying to help you to find evidence so that you can be confident of your standing with God. And your profession alone perhaps has left you without assurance. And that might be because your conduct is not consistent with it. So look to your conduct and you'll find out whether you're right with God or not. So how are you living? How are you acting? How are you, to use the word in the text, how are you walking? You see, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. How did Jesus walk? In total submission to the Father's will. Therefore, a person with Jesus in his or her life will find himself, don't you think, walking more like Jesus. Do you see yourself doing this? If so, you have reason to be super confident of your standing with God. Once again, you're not perfect. Notice the metaphor, walking. You're walking like Jesus. It doesn't say, are you skipping? Are you jumping over life? Are you doing things in leaps and bounds? Are you being beamed up into total sinless perfection? No. A walk is step by step and even involves a little stumbling along the way. The question is not, have you attained the goal. But are you finding yourself day by day taking increasing steps in that direction so that you are finding your life to be more reflective of the submission to Almighty God, which was characteristic of the walk of Jesus? Are you living that way now? Then I must tell you, mazel tov. Congratulations. You have evidence. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't doubt it. You have evidence of the fact that you are a saved human being, that Jesus has indeed taken up his residence in your life, and it shows in you and it shows through you. You're walking more and more like Jesus. And if you don't have that evidence, I close with a simple invitation. Why not settle the score with Lord Jesus tonight? Why don't you say, I professed something at one point. It isn't to be invalidated. I don't mean to say that. But maybe you could say, frankly, Lord, I haven't seen any of those indicators. So on this date, I really want to make sure, oh God, I turn over my life to you. I yield to you as Savior and Lord. I submit. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Inhabit me so that there could be greater manifestations of your being in me through me. I do it on this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am sealed now in you throughout eternity. And because, Lord Jesus, I'm prone to doubt, will you show me, oh God, evidences that you have moved in as I daily seek to walk with you. If you'd like help in that regard, before we take leave of one another, we would invite you to a room just on the other side of that wall, Connection Center. Wonderful people will be there to assist you in finding out how to really, really establish this connection with the Lord Jesus, one you can be sure of. Could I boast of something? I think this is a legitimate boast. I may lose everything I presently have, you two, and I'm totally unsure of tomorrow. I mean, I am less sure of tomorrow than I have ever been. Oh, my goodness. Every day, there's something quite surprising that we hear about, experience, or see about. It's a little unsettling, but here's my boast. I am sure that I have Jesus in my life and that he will never let me go. Therefore, I can never forfeit what matters most. The psalmist said, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. I know I love God, and I didn't start it. I know I love God, for he demonstrated his love to me. For God so loved Stuart, and you could fill in your name, that he gave his only begotten son. His name is Jesus. That if Stuart would believe in him, Stuart would simply not perish. But here's the grand alternative. But will have everlasting life. Could you bow your heads just for a second? And I would like to rehearse that verse of scripture one more time, inviting you simply, if you haven't ever before, put your name in the verse. It's truth. For God so loved, that's where you belong now, put your name, that he gave his only begotten son, that if, now you put your name in again, would believe in him, Now you put your name in again. Would have. And you can be sure of it. Eternal life. Oh God, I pray that was the honest, authentic decision of some here tonight. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.